I came from the cockpit of a Braniff airliner in Dallas, Texas, to Kennett, Missouri, on July the 20th, 1947. I drove into town. And along about Newport, Arkansas, about 5 o'clock in the morning or 5:30, I started picking up the signal, KBOA in Kennett. We were heading for Kennett to visit my brother-in-law, Bob Jones. We didn't even know they had a radio station. And this just intrigued the devil out of me, because from Dallas, Texas, to Kennett, Missouri, and finding a radio station in this little town. Well, anyway, by the time I hit here, it was a Sunday, I knew every sound that the station made and all the mistakes. And I said, if those guys know anything about radio, I'm a bachelor ape. So Monday morning, I started hanging around this station. And about Wednesday, I said, my gosh, this is the place for me. I said, it was just totally intriguing. I hit Paul Jones up for a job. I said, Paul, you got announcers, you got program men here, you got engineers. But I said, you're lacking one thing. You haven't got a salesman. So how about me being a salesman? He said, you ever sell? And I said, no, I never sold anything in my life. But he put me on as a salesman, and we did a pretty good job. Now, ironically, Steve, when I started, Ray Vann was supposed to cover Kennett, Ray Vann and Paul. So all my selling was done outside of Kennett. So every day I'd drive to Camel, Poplar Bluff, Dexter, Sykeston, East Prairie, New Madrid, Portageville, Caruthersville, go on down to Steele and Blytheville and over and around to Paragould, Walnut Ridge, Pocahontas, Corning. Just made the big circle. And the reason for that was that in its early days, KBOA really was a regional radio station. We had KLCN in Blytheville, and we had KWOC in Poplar Bluff, both big, powerful 1,000-watt stations, one at 93 on the dial and the other at 900. We were sitting at 830. So there were three radio stations that this entire area depended upon, and we jumped in there with rural, urban programming, thanks to Ray Vann and Johnny Mack and the early pioneers. They knew what these people wanted. And we captured an audience that was just totally unbelievable. Ray Vann and Butterball had this contest. Ray got in over 25,000 pieces, and Butterball well around 20,000 at least. And, of course, Ray was on the air all day long begging and pleading for his mail, as opposed to Tommy Page. Butterball, he was only on for about 15 or 30 minutes at noon. But anyway, they put Ray in the wheelbarrow and put it in, went around the square. He called it Main Street, but it was around the square, and Butterball pushed. And Paul Jones was sitting up on the courthouse steps on the north side, facing Smith's, and giving a running account. And you never saw so many people in your life. It just crowded the town. KBOA has always been instrumental in community promotions. We have had, in my day, we had two citywide promotions a year, February and July. And that's an interesting aspect right there, too. We had a very active merchants organization back in the early 40s and 50s. But we'd call a meeting and we'd say, we got an idea. They didn't care what it was. They'd just say, how much? And we'd tell them and they'd say, let's go. So we started the first sidewalk sale. The first sidewalk sale ever had in southeast Missouri was in Kennett, Missouri, and we got national publicity on it. It was a merchandising idea that was subsequently picked up and used all over the United States by radio stations. I've been coming to Kennett since the 30s, and Saturday it was a carnival atmosphere. These people that were transients, more or less, coming in here, and particularly in the fall for the cotton harvest, would come to town loaded with money. All the kids, they'd buy clothing, they'd buy their groceries, they'd buy their booze, their tobacco, and then they'd buy an automobile. And, of course, their only association with what was going on with the world was KBOA. So we had an audience back in those days, which all this predates your surveys. But the response was true and genuine and the most dynamic thing that you can believe for this part of the country. Yeah, let's take a couple of names. The Wilburn family, Teddy and Doyle and Lester and Leslie and Geraldine. All five of them, along with old Pop, started out with us. And we had them on from 8 to 8:30. You know who the sponsor was? Joe Hefner in Keelan, Missouri. Butterball Page on at 12 o'clock noon. Who was he sponsor? Fox Furniture Company in Morehouse, Missouri. Curly Hickson, Speedy Moody, great, great instrumentalist. He had Billy Springer with him. He had old Gabby McEwen. They had a country band that should have gone to Nashville. The Rhythm Busters, they were great. Now, I'm not pulling any punching. These guys were great, totally untrained. They just got out there and played their hearts out. Couldn't read music, any of them, just head charts. You know, somebody start off humming something, and they'd pick it up and run. Chuck Harding came along, and he introduced the first commercialized band we had. We put him in Hartsbred uniforms, red and white, and Scotty, his wife at that time, was quite decorative in her appearance. And they were quite successful, in both as a radio attraction and as a draw for their local appearances. But here's some other names you haven't had anybody drop yet. Chuck Gray, who is now a preacher in Corning, Arkansas, had a great hillbilly band back in those days. Charlie Crawford, a local car salesman, came up here from Zenith, Missouri with a bunch of boys from Zenith and had a great little old country band. We gave him 30 minutes a day. A spinoff from the Chuck Gray band was Carl and Ola Denny, who had a duet singing gospel songs and went into the gospel field. We had the McDonald brothers, who had a 30-minute program here and who are legendary in their appeal around here. We had Mac and Norman Luna, L-U-N-A, who came in here as a comedy act and switched to gospel. Little Troy Lumpkin, another gospel duet. Over the years, when they make appearances around this area, we've had Ernest Tubbs on KBOA. We've had Roy Acuff and his band on KBOA. In fact, I took them downtown to Riggs Hardware. It used to be Shelton Riggs back in those days, and they all bought 22 rifles and stood out here back by the transmitter. And I had target practice waiting to go on the air to publicize the show that night. Smiley Burnett was a personal house guest of mine. He came in here straight from Hollywood and did some publicity work for Hart's Bakery. Martha Carson from Grand Ole Opry, we had her come over and appear for the Gobbler Mercantile Company. And of course we had Jimmy Haggett. Jimmy was a great, great little entertainer, and he was a great little DJ. He's the guy, incidentally, brought Elvis Presley up here to the Gobbler, Missouri nightclub for $50. When I started in this business, I didn't know anything about selling, so I got me a bunch of postcards, and I said, did you know you can advertise on KBOA for as little as $1.90? Well, you can. Call 830 and ask for Joe. 830 was our telephone number in those days. I didn't get a telephone call, but I got a postcard in reply and said, stop by and see me, Denny Mitchell, Gobbler Mercantile Company. That's the only response I got. I mailed out 500. So I said, Paul, where's Gobbler? And he said, out here at County Road and go south. There's a wide spot. So I drove down there and looked at that thing, and it was a great big old imposing country store. I didn't think much about it, but I went in there and talked to Denny. Denny didn't ask me what I had. He told me what he wanted. He said, I want about 10 spots a day to start this thing out. I want to try something. So we tried it out. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, he called back and says, I want to do some more. He says, I'm thinking about a program. So I said, well, let's get Ray Vann going. I don't know anything about any programs. Now, Ray was oriented to gospel music. And he had this old camp meeting idea in the back of his head. We went out there and we sold Denny on it 30 minutes a day, starting out. As Paul Jones said, it expanded to an hour a day. It expanded to an hour and a half a day. It was supplemented by 10 or 15 spots a day. The Gobbler Mercantile Company exploded. It was the Sears Roebuck of southeast Missouri. People came for hundreds of miles to shop at Gobbler. He would add another 100 square foot addition and stock it with refrigerators. In the early 50s, he had another addition he stocked with TV sets. He put in the furniture line. He put in groceries. He put in clothing stores. He had warehouses. He had 18-wheel trucks running all over the country. Well, the truth of the matter is, Steve, he built himself a bear, and he was standing there holding it by the tail. And if he let it go, it'd turn around and eat him up. So Governor Mercantile come and got so big it just destroyed Denny Mitchell. It just got so darn big and one man couldn't control it. It burned down, and it was a very unhappy end to a glorious, glorious story. But KBOA showed its effectiveness as a merchandising tool in every aspect with the Governor Mercantile Company. We were servicing and producing commercials for 176 radio stations nationwide. Now, for my talent, I would utilize Johnny Mack, I would utilize Charlie Watson, I would utilize Bob Miles, your father, old John. And there's something about your father you don't know to this day. He can do Liberace down to a point where Liberace is ashamed. Rudy, my gosh, Rudy was the spokesman for Bunny Bread, and we were on 50-something stations in Illinois and Kentucky and Tennessee and Missouri. All of these guys were what made KBOA great in the early days.